Lots to get through. The all-new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. Wispy Watson, you've been talking about Martin Flanagan's story about Luke Beveridge, the 2016 Premiership push for the Bulldogs, and you're trying to fashion out, and if you're in fact a Western Bulldogs or a footy fan, and you've got an idea of what theme he might be going with, give us a call or give us a shoot through a text, 0433981116.
I love all this stuff. I don't know whether or not it would hit the mark with you. Maybe it wouldn't have. But
I love it. I love it.
Had I been coached by Luke Beveridge, I would have loved these themes and the way that he conceptualises the game and the things around the game. And it's interesting that Kylie Watson-Wheeler, who is the president of the Bulldogs, she has done an interview with Michael Warner in the Herald Sun today. And part of what she says about Bevo is that he's a master storyteller and always finds a narrative that is meaningful to take the playing group on a journey, right? So Martin Flanagan spends the year with the Dogs back in 2016, their premiership year. This is round eight. This is a chapter about round eight. Melbourne Cricket Ground, the Dogs defeated Melbourne on that particular day. Bevo's pre-match notes are unusually pointed. He believes someone previously employed by the Bulldogs has passed on their game plan to Melbourne, which they then adopted key elements of, right? It's titled The Originals versus the Copycat. So that's the theme, right? Mm-hmm. One of his match day slogans is imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Beveridge's message to his players is be angry that they can't think for themselves. They are now trying to be a Bulldogs clone. He calls Melbourne the Dolly Demons and points out that the sheep is the first mammal to be cloned, but that the cloned sheep are more susceptible to lung disease and have only 50% of life expectancy of the natural bred. There you go. So there's his theme around copying, which he then developed into Dolly the sheep cloning and then said, they've got our game plan, but because of the fact that it's our game plan, not theirs, they're a copier, 50% life expectancy than the natural bred. They've got some form of lung disease and they're not going to be able to beat us out there today.
What is the name of that book?
I don't know exactly what the title of the book is.
A Wink from the Universe. Martin Flanagan's book?
Martin Flanagan book. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I would love to know what he's concocting now, because we know that there's very much the element in that of us against them. Do you reckon he might be using the theme along the lines of, you know, the white collar Western versus the Melbourne Blue Bloods or?
Who would know? I would never have thought that he would have been able to come up with
The other way around, the blue collar versus
cloned sheep as a motivation for a talk, Dolly the cloned sheep. But hey, if you got a thought on it, if you got a thought of where he might be able to go with this one, that is, I wonder how influenced he was by John Northey, who was not as, he wasn't as sophisticated as that, but he was very much in that mould. He would be looking for any sort of an edge that he could throw out the playing group.
Further to that, right, and you might be sitting there thinking, oh, well, this, you know, how could players possibly get motivated by that, right? On that particular day, Libba went out there and I think he had 21 tackles, the most tackles that he has ever had. So maybe it hit the spot with him.
It motivated him on that day.
It did on that day.
So I couldn't hear what you're saying then. The most tackles ever laid in a game, Tom Liberatore had on
that day. Yeah, 21.
The landlords versus the tenants. Could you fashion some sort of the wealthy landowners? I don't know. Anyway, it's great and I think it's fascinating. It'll come out in the fullness of time.
Yeah, it will.
And we look forward to that. Hey, a couple of other things I was interested with. Wayne Campbell, the footy manager, has been appointed the footy manager of the Gold Coast Suns. That's an interesting appointment, isn't it? 3 years at the Giants, 2 years with the umpires, a year or so out, and now goes up there in what is almost the toughest job in footy right now.
Yeah. But he's had great football experiences, hasn't he? You talked about what he's already done, played, worked with the umpires, saw the game from another side, done a little bit of work in the media as well. If you read his column, his columns in The Age have been really good, like really insightful. I think he really understands at the heart of what makes great football clubs, and that's exactly what they need. They need people around them to continue to help build that culture up there.
Let's have a listen to him. He was with Bob and Andy yesterday.
I just think they're building something really special. I know from the outside that, you know, people would might have a different opinion of that, but they've been able to build a really talented list. You can see they play for their coach, and I think they've developed a really good culture. And in the 24 or 48 hours that I've been talking to people up there, it's a really high quality of people up there. So I'm quite excited because I think I'm coming in after the foundations have been laid. I think John Haynes, the previous chairman of footy, has done a really good job of getting really good people there. And hopefully, you know, I can add something to that and build on it. But I think the playing list, I think, you know, the location on the Gold Coast and the people that are around the club, which is, you know, sort of the three things that are the most important. But I think they're, you know, I think they've really laid the foundation of a good footy club.
Which he's always going to say. And now we've got to see it, don't we? I mean, we've been hearing that a bit out of the Gold Coast Suns, and they've had a couple of incarnations. So big pressure job. Good man, Wayne Campbell. So we've got nice experience behind him now. So we wish him well.
We do. I know you don't think this is much of a story, but I just want to play you what Caro had to say last night on Footy Classified about this Melbourne curfew over there in the West.
They're not calling it a curfew, but the players are calling it a curfew. Alan Richardson, the head of football, has basically said we want you all back at the Joondalup Resort every night by 9 p.m. And we'd rather you all eat dinner together at the resort. But those of you who come from Perth or, you know, Perth originally, yeah, have families here, if you do want to go and have dinner with family or friends, we want you back here and in your own beds by 9 o'clock or back at the resort.
Back at the resort.
Which is an interesting call.
You're over there. Is it a curfew or not a curfew?
So I think that's the first time I've heard that. So it's a curfew, but they're not calling it a curfew. But they'd like to have you back. And they want everyone to have dinner together.
Yeah.
Unless you don't have dinner together and you want to go out and have dinner with your family.
That's right.
Fine. I don't know, Tim. I think that's very, very low down in the storylines of what's taking place and unfolding over the next couple of weeks.
Well, to that end, Ross Lyon responded. He thinks it's a bit more serious than that. Have a listen to this.
What's really surprising, I don't think you need rules for grown men, young men that have got a premiership opportunity in 2 weeks' time. So all I know is you're making a rod for your back. If what happens if someone rolls up at 10? What's the penalty? If it's Petrarca, it's a half hour from the CBD, Joondalup. So they're really saying you've got to be out of the CBD, you've got to be out of Fremantle, out of Cottesloe by 8:30. I think it's a little bit extreme.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Will they be asked a question today as to what the penalty will be if you don't get back inside by 9 p.m?
Probably, Tim.
You're laughing. You're not taking this seriously at all.
No, I'm not. Not for a second am I taking it seriously. So, yeah, that is exactly right.
Okay, well, Cole out there on the text, he's not taking it seriously either. Cut it out, Tim. Libba had lots of tackles because he was motivated by Dolly the Sheep. You're losing it. It wouldn't have. See, there's the thing. It wouldn't have hit the mark for Cole. He would have sat there, he would have listened to Bevo's speech, and it wouldn't have moved him in any way.
No.
But it did move Libba on this particular day, for whatever reason.
Do you think there'd be some players that sit there and just, as any coach is going through his motivational, and they just, their eyes go, oh, jeez. Not this one. Turn it up. Turn it up, coach. Who do you think I am? There are others that just lap it up. And that's the art of coaching. You've got to work out who you can get to and who you can't.
That is exactly right. Hey, what else have you got there for me this morning? Oh, no, this is the other thing I wanted to play to you this morning. Simon Goodwin, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. This is, only cast your mind back to March 8. March 8, 2021. Melbourne coming off a season that they fell below expectations. Everybody was criticising Simon Goodwin. There was talk about, you know, was he going to be the most under pressure coach in 2021? This is what he declared back on March 8.
Our expectations are a lot higher. We don't want to just play finals. We want to play significant finals and win significant finals. And, you know, I sit here with great empathy for our footy club and our supporters. You know, it's been a long time, 1964. But we need to put ourselves into a top four position to give ourselves the best chance to win the ultimate. And that's what we're setting out to do. We want to be part of a footy club that does something pretty special and leads our supporters to something that they haven't seen for a long, long time. And I think the foundation's been laid. I think we've had the summer that gives us the capacity to do that. And we're setting ourselves about going about it.
There you go. That's Simon Goodwin, March 8 this year.
I think most clubs would be, you know, if you've got a team that's in or around the mark, would be bullish about their and making, you know, the top four. I mean, would be.
They weren't, though, Gary. That's the point. They weren't back on March 8 this year. No one was talking about Melbourne finishing in the top four.
But the clubs, I'm just saying, the clubs would be bullish about it. I mean, most clubs, I think, would have their own expectation. And, you know, it's all retrospective now, but you can go back in 2020 and look what happened in the back half of the year, and I think that would be a reasonable expectation. I didn't have it, but if you, I obviously didn't do enough work on it, but their back half of the year was, you know, really good. Dropped two games they shouldn't have, missed, you know, finished ninth. So, yeah, and I saw Mike Sheehan. I read an article where Mike Sheehan said, he's quoted Goody, ran into him in a pub at Sorrento and said,
"Did he?
You've been playing much." Did you read this?
No, I didn't.
Didn't you read this? "Been playing much golf?" And Goody goes, "No." And then Mike, being a smart aleck, goes, "Well, you have plenty of time when you get the arse," or something like this. And then Goody said, "Well, no, it won't happen because we're going to win it." No, Mike started. Mike's telling that story now.
We're going to win it.
It.
We're going to win the flag.
I would take that with a grain of salt too, given they're at the Sorrento pub in the off-season. But Mike's recounting that story. Hey, Isaac Smith, this is what I find really interesting. And the pain was real for Geelong and for Port Adelaide when you bow out in the prelims in the manner that they did. Too real to be making statements after the game, and the day after you've got to give them some space. But now they're starting to talk. So Isaac Smith talks. He described it as the most embarrassing 45 minutes of football I've ever played in. That Geelong game gives you a bit of an indication of where it's at, doesn't it? And maybe what's going to, you know, take place at that footy club over the next couple of weeks in terms of the review of the season and ultimately the last game.
Everyone moves on pretty quickly, though, don't they? Like the conversations outside of Geelong move on pretty quickly.
Pretty powerful stuff, though, from a really experienced footballer, which I just think speaks to the recrimination or reverberations that would be down at Geelong. And then you had Chris Davies, who's the footy manager of the Port Adelaide Footy Club. He comes out and just described their performance as an abomination. And then you talked about how, you know, he's sort of harsh ultimatum for Michael Voss about having to find out pretty quickly. So it's the reaction and response on the back of the disappointing losses is going to be fascinating.
Yeah. Right now they're just words, though, aren't they? Right now, because they can't go out there and they can't rectify the situation. They can't correct what took place last week. They've got to stew about it for another another 12 months. They've got to stew about it, because the only way that they can change what we've just seen about both those clubs is to perform at the pointy end of the season. And they won't get that opportunity for another 12 months. Maybe they won't be good enough in another 12 months to get that opportunity again either.
You'll get a better idea at trade time, I think.
I don't think they'll do much.
That's the idea. Then therefore you get an idea about where they think they're at.
Well, I think Port Adelaide, you know, they clearly would like Jordan Dawson. And I think there's somebody else that they're looking very close to.
Yeah, Finlayson.
Finlayson as well. They'll do a little bit of recruiting around the edge. But they've got some really good young talented players there too, who probably just needed to have that other final series and understand clearly what it is all about and the level that you need to perform week in, week out to get the job done at finals time. That's all part of the sum of your experiences as a player. Yeah, so when you do get the next opportunity, you're right to go and you understand what it is that you need to do.
That's a message off the Timber Text. Ross Lyon can't talk about player restrictions. He didn't even trust his players at supporter functions. He took them out of functions in the pre-season. So maybe you forget quickly when you get out of coaching.